Letters from Nigeria from the Sisters of Great Bend, Kansas. Ordinary farm girls who lived extraordinary lives in Africa.
Dear sisters, greetings from Nigeria. We have a saying here, you never know how your day will end.
The village was very primitive. The people wore no clothes, or only a few leaves in front and back.
Can you imagine the excitement? Go faster, sister! There's a plane coming from the side!
We had very sick babies on the veranda all night.
In the last episode of Letters from Nigeria, Cornelia, I'm looking forward to meeting the prankster and the innocent.
The who?
The two sisters in the picture that you showed me yesterday. You know, the one taken of the original three sisters before they went to Nigeria. One looked like she was full of mischief, and the other so sweet. They live here, right?
Sister Agnes does, but Sister Margaret lives in another town. It's Saturday, so Margaret should be around for breakfast in the dining hall.
Let's go meet them, then. Episode 3, The Road Back to the Mother House. After our morning talk in her room, I wheeled Cornelia down the hallway onto the Otis elevator that dropped us off at the dining hall at the convent's basement. We chatted a little longer than we should have and were running a bit late. Cornelia was praying for the last pieces of bacon, and I was hoping that I'd meet Sisters Agnes and Margaret, two of the original three sisters to go to Nigeria. The elevator door opened, and I wheeled Cornelia down a hall to a large, high-ceilinged room with stark white walls. It was covered with industrial carpet and dotted with well-worn plastic and metal dining tables and chairs. We grabbed breakfast from a small cafeteria off the kitchen. Cornelia got her bacon, juice, and toast, and I could see two women waving to us from a large table with seating for 10. Both were dressed simply in white dresses and black sweaters and looked to be in their 80s. I wheeled Cornelia over.
There you two are. Aggie, Margaret, this is my niece, Chris. Sisters Agnes and Margaret are two of the original three sisters to go to Nigeria in 1956.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's good to meet you, too. Here, Cornelia, let me help you out of that wheelchair.
Did you try the strawberry jam? I made it.
Oh, you made that jam?
We're selling it at the bazaar next week.
It's so good. You really have to try it, Chris.
I will.
Maybe Aggie and Margaret can tell you about the early years.
Well, we joined about 10 years after Cornelia. Well, Sister Cornelia. How old were you, Aggie?
I was 15.
I've asked Cornelia this, but how could you have made a decision like that at such a young age?
Oh, I knew from when I was little, early on, that I wanted to be a sister. I really knew that. I used to go up in the attic and put a tea towel over my head. I played sister so many times, and it just never left me. It was something that was kind of innate in me. I prayed often that Jesus would listen to me. I'm sure that he was listening to me, but anyway, I had deep faith in that.
Remarkable.
I had two other siblings who were sisters. They joined 2 years before me. One left after 28 years. She married a widower and adopted 4 boys and is a happy housewife on the farm. My other sister and I persevered. Well, maybe I shouldn't say persevered, but I'm happy. Happy, really, for where we are and what God has done in us.
What did your parents think about three daughters taking the veil?
It was hard on my parents when I asked to go. I was Dad's little farmhand. I helped him overhaul combines, do the milking, anything outside. I was not an indoor girl. My two older sisters had left for the convent, and I wanted to go as well. Well, my parents said, let's finish the crops in the fall, and then maybe. Well, the crops were finished and still nothing happened. We got a letter from the convent saying if I didn't come soon, I wouldn't be able to catch up. I refused to go to high school because I was afraid that my parents wouldn't let me go if I did. I was very determined. So Dad said, let's go over to the convent and see what we can come up with. And so we did, and I signed my papers.
Well, how old were you, Sister Margaret?
14 and a half. A week later, I was in the convent. It was All Saints' Day. I always say that it took all of the saints to get me there, but I got there.
And what about you, Sister Agnes?
I just knew that I wanted to be a sister. When I was little, I'd say, when I grow up, I'm going to be a sister and a missionary. And I did. I spent 26 years in Africa.
Did any of your sisters become a sister?
Well, I had two sisters, and one, well, she was married 4 times. When she wasn't happy, she'd divorce and get married again.
Don't think that she'll join the Dominicans.
Probably not.
And your early years in the convent, was it strict?
Oh, yes, we expected it to be strict.
Yes, we expected it.
We had to sow our oats some way. We had fun. We did. Aggie pulled some good ones, like losing her petticoat in the chapel. She had us in stitches. We were both novitiates at the time. Aggie was a few years before me.
In the morning, I would say to my companions, what are we going to do today? Sort of like something different? One time we crawled out of the attic and got on top of this convent.
Oh, you little rascals. But by the time you went to Africa, you'd settled down some. How did that come about for you, Sister Margaret?
Mother Hyacinth called me into her office and told me that I was going to Africa.
Sounds like you didn't expect it.
Oh, no, I didn't. Earlier, we were told to get donations to start the mission, and my father said, I will give, provided none of you will ever go. And I said, oh, Dad, none of us will ever go. It was just, how will I ever tell him? But eventually, I could tell him, and he didn't like it. My father did not want me to go to Africa. He always called me my little one. I was very small, you see. But anyway, I just kept working with him, and he really resigned himself. He bought me a brand new treadle sewing machine to take with me to Africa. He was working on road construction on I-70, and every month he'd send $100 to Great Bend for the missions.
Oh, you had a good papa. Cornelia wasn't kidding about families being a big part of Nigeria.
They were.
Sister Margaret, what did you do over in Nigeria?
I was responsible for keeping house, but really, so much had to be done. I did what was needed. We all did.
And Sister Agnes, what did you do?
I taught. But in the beginning, Sister Margaret is right. We really did everything as it was needed.
You were in your 20s.
We were in our mid to late 20s. Remember, Aggie, when we first arrived, the linoleum? Oh.
That was our first job, laying linoleum tile. First, there was a convent. It had 11 rooms. And then the father's house, another 11 rooms.
It was the three of us, me, Aggie, and Sister Dominica.
Who was Sister Dominica?
Sister Dominica was in charge. She was about 15 years older than us.
Sister Dominica would sit on a stool with a blowtorch and heat the 9-inch tiles, and then Margaret, or I, put this black tar-like glue on the back, and the other sister placed it on the floor.
In those long white habits?
Oh, yes, but we had petticoats so we could pin the dresses to our waist. One time, my scapular caught fire. I got too close to the blowtorch.
You're kidding.
No, she's not. But we put it out.
I was okay, but it scared the bejeebers out of me. We got to lay linoleum in the other buildings as well.
Ah, the reward for a job well done. So let me get this straight. At first, it was you three, Sister Agnes, Sister Margaret, and Sister Dominica. But I read that you guys also worked in a clinic, and none of you are nurses. Another sister came over to do that, right? Sister Angelina?
Sister Angelina came a few months after we arrived. She was a nurse and a midwife. She started the dispensary and then the maternity ward. We went with her to homes to help with deliveries. That's when I got to see my first birth.
Oh, and remember, Aggie, Sister Angelina took us out into the bush.
We set the car up and helped wrap sores. The villagers had guinea worms. Could you please pass the jam? Thank you. They were about 7 inches long and about as thick as your finger, and they would come out of the skin just below their stomachs.
They were real worms.
If they were small enough, and we caught them as they were coming out of the skin, we'd take a matchstick and wind them on the match.
Oh, and I'll never forget the first time I saw a baby being born. Sister Angelina handed me the baby in a blanket to hold, with the placenta and everything, and I was just in awe.
I'm reading your letters. You know, the ones you wrote home from Nigeria? The ones that Cornelia compiled? It was such a different world that you stepped into.
It was hard at times, but what we did in Nigeria was no harder than what our founder did in the 1900s.
That's what Cornelia said. Sounds like you all came from hardy stock. What was her name?
Mother Angelina.
Before you get too far into the letters, you should look at our display room. Don't you think, Aggie? It will give her some history.
Mother Angelina started our Dominican chapter in Great Bend in 1902. She was born in Bavaria but immigrated to America as a young child and became a Dominican sister. She lived at the Amityville convent almost her entire life.
Where's that?
It's on Long Island. Amityville is where our mother house is.
For years, the convent had been getting letters from a priest in Kansas who was a brother of one of the sisters. He kept asking for teachers who could speak German to come to Kansas.
The letter must have touched Mother Antonina's heart, because she offered to help the father.
She was in her late 40s, early 50s, when she gave up her position as sub-prioress to start a mission in Kansas. A bishop in Wichita found an old teacher's college, and Mother Antonina recruited 6 sisters and 2 postulants to go with her to Kansas. They took the train from Melville to Great Bend. Back then, Kansas was like the Wild West to Easterners.
So Cornelia told me.
But when they got there, the normal school wasn't ready, so the sisters had to stay at the Morrison Hotel, which had been vacant.
It had been a brothel.
Oh my! I'm sure Mother Antonina didn't pray for that.
Certainly not. The,
not non-taxable business?
Yes, that was, of course, no longer there. But the hotel was dilapidated with no running water, so the sisters made do until they could move into the normal college and open their first school. Pretty soon, the doctors in the town were asking if Mother Antonina could recruit sisters back in New York who were nurses, and sure enough, she did it. She turned one of the school buildings into a hospital with 8 rooms. Our first hospital.
The first patient was a guy who fell out of a hot air balloon.
They said he fell on his head and busted open his brain.
Did he live?
I don't know, but they didn't charge him for the ride. We outgrew that first hospital and bought a big house and turned that into a hospital with 16 beds. But that wasn't enough, so we had to expand. By 1922, we opened up our third hospital, which is just across the street.
Whoa, that's a big hospital. Seems like you had enough to keep yourselves busy. Why go to Nigeria?
God had given us so much that we wanted to show our gratitude. So for our 50th anniversary in Great Bend, we decided to take on a mission in a foreign country.
A group of Dominican fathers in northern Nigeria needed teachers and nurses, midwives in particular.
And off you went.
Our jubilee was in 1952, but we didn't go to Nigeria until 1956.
I read an old newspaper article about it. Sounds like you took everything but the kitchen sink.
We had to. There was not much in Gusau. We took clothes. We dressed in full habits then, canned goods. We even brought a station wagon. It was really interesting to see them put it on a ship.
Sister Dominica. She was the kind that wasn't going to do without anything. Down to little cans of sardines, probably.
I know that the sauerkraut spoiled on the trip over, and she must have liked cranberry sauce.
I heard about the cranberries.
Two whole cases.
Well, you just can't have Thanksgiving without cranberries, now can you?
As essential as antibiotics and bandages. Maybe they had medicinal purposes.
They did make Thanksgiving in Nigeria better.
Tell me about Sister Dominica.
Oh, bless her heart. Sister Dominica was there for about 4 years. Like we said, she was about 10-15 years our senior. At the time, she seemed so much older. I guess you could say that she was the leader. She was a bit, well...
strident?
I guess that's the word, or at least that's how I saw her when I was a very young woman.
She probably needed to be. We were pretty silly sometimes.
Nah, really? You too?
I know. It's hard to believe. Sister Dominica was a good sister. She passed in the late 1980s.
God bless her soul.
She's in heaven for sure.
Oh, look at the time. I have to get going. Be sure to go to our display room.
You really should see the display room. It's just down the hall from the library.
I will.
I know, Chris. Why don't you go on ahead? Aggie, if you're heading upstairs, would you wheel me back to my room?
Sure.
I kind of like to see it. Mind if I duck out, Cornelia?
No. You go on. I'll see you at lunch. It's up the main stairs on the second floor, just past the library at the end.
On the corner of the building?
Yes.
Well then, it has been an absolute delight meeting you both. Would you guys be willing to talk more about your time in Nigeria?
Oh, sure.
Then I hope to see you before I leave. Well, nice meeting you two.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Are you ready, Aggie?
Okay, Corny, let's head on upstairs.
So, I headed up to the display room, got lost twice. How can you possibly not find the corner of a building? But I found it. The room was filled with cardboard displays that told the Great Bend Sisters' story. Through the years, they had opened 3 hospitals, founded 2 nursing homes, and dotted Kansas with numerous parochial schools. There were maps of Nigeria and pictures of some of the 30-plus sisters who had gone there. The latest endeavor for the sisters looked to be a retreat center. In a prominent location was a bust of Mother Antonina, the very substantial, Teutonic-looking woman who had started it all. Long before Gloria Steinem burned her first bra, these women were opening hospitals and schools. And they weren't 3-bed makeshift hospitals. By 1922, the sisters had built a 75-bed hospital for $125,000. Quite a sum of money for the time. How many women were doing that in the early 20s? And like the old line about Ginger Rogers, they were doing what very few men of the time were doing, in starched, floor-length habits, that hadn't changed much from what their founding Bavarian sisters wore in the 13th century. But, as always, there's another side to the story. The back story. All was not glory. Before Mother Antonina left for Kansas, her convent in New York, the one where she had lived since her teens, gave her $3,000 and had her sign a waiver that she could neither ask for more money nor come back to the convent. Curious. Was there bad blood? Turns out that the problem might have been that although Mother Antonina inspired people with her very big heart and ideas, she was a bit lacking in the money management department. Not always a good combination. So she comes to Great Bend and starts a school with more students who couldn't pay tuition than could. A few years later, the sisters are so poor that they are begging for food. The parishioners had to throw pound parties where they would give the sisters a pound of things like meat, corn, and flour to keep them from starving. When local doctors asked for nurses, Mother Antonina recruited even more sisters from her old convent back in New York. Money became even tighter, so the sisters took up the slack by working longer hours. Now I know what Cornelia was talking about when she said that her only doubt about being a sister was whether she could physically do all of the work. As the sisters' bank account shrunk and the demand for more nurses grew, Antonina goes to Bavaria to see if she can solicit funds and recruit more sisters. She barely gets any contribution, but recruits more sisters and brings back orphans with the idea that she's going to open an orphanage. Much as Mother Antonina was loved by her flock, there were not a lot of happy sisters at the convent. A typhoid epidemic had killed one of the sisters, another death followed, four novices and two postulants quit, and the sisters were up to their scapulars in debt. Maybe the New York convent was onto something when they had Antonina sign that document. By 1910, the Great Bend sisters were about $36,000 in debt, and things were not looking up. A vote was taken for new leadership, and poor Mother Antonina was out. But when you think of it, pioneers like Mother Antonina are risk takers. They're not bothered or even maybe capable of seeing all the pitfalls that lie ahead. Otherwise, why do it in the first place? Without Mother Antonina's heart, passion, and poor attention to money, the Great Bend sisters might not exist. My aunt would not have gone to Nigeria, and there would be no letters to share with you. Mother Antonina must have been in Great Bend for a reason. Cornelia would say that God had put her in just the right spot at just the right time. And who am I to argue? One thing is for sure. In 1910, God needed to send the sisters an accountant. Instead, he did one thing better. He sent the level-headed Mother Seraphine and thereafter other prioresses who eventually paid off the debts and helped the Great Bend sisters prosper to the point where in 1952, they were ready to celebrate their 50-year anniversary by following Mother Antonina's adventurous footsteps into unknown territory. And there it was. In one of the sisters' displays, the 50-year full circle was completed 4 years later in 1956, when sisters Margaret, Agnes, and Dominica headed back to Mother Antonina's old convent in Amityville, New York, to catch a cargo ship called the African Patriot to Nigeria. I took some time to respectfully take it all in, then tiptoed out of the sisters' display room and headed down to the library to reread their letters and return to 1956 with sisters Dominica, Agnes, and Margaret as they embarked on their Nigerian adventure. To quote a favorite expression that my dad used to say before we drove off for family trips in the station wagon, packed to the gunwales with everything but a collapsible surgery table and two boxes of canned cranberries, the sisters were off to Nigeria like a wet diaper.
Holy Cross Convent, Amityville, Long Island, New York, July 22, 1956. Dear Sisters, greetings through St. Dominic from the Dominican Home for the Old Sisters here in Amityville. We've had a lot to get done before going to Nigeria. First were immunizations. We had an expert chauffeur, but couldn't find the medical center. It was in the middle of an airstrip of all places. We got lost once, dead-ending at a large Do Not Enter sign next to a guardhouse. We asked the guard whether it was all right for us to be there. He said, "I don't know. I'm new here. Just take it easy." So hesitantly, Sister Mary Assumpta proceeded to drive through a restricted area. One large plane flew overhead and, oh, so very close that we lowered our heads. So on we went. Just then, Sister Mary Agnes saw a huge four-motored plane coming directly toward us from the side. Can you imagine the excitement? "Go faster, sister! There's a plane coming from the side!" At the same time, the rest of us were more concerned about the big propellers twirling in front of us only a little distance away. Slowly, with both hands on the wheel, Sister drove us carefully across the taxiway to safety. We eventually found the medical center and got our shots. To our surprise, we had absolutely no ill effects and are ready to go to Africa. God bless you and Mary keep you. Sister Dominica, Sister Agnes, and Sister Margaret.